I was holding tightly to his hand, and through the vortex I could see him looking different. He was taller, translucent, green, with garnet eyes. Time stretched within a second to bring me to the awareness that, whether I knew where the Anunnaki physical race came from, I was never yet explained who Inkyutiam's soul truly was. The multi-dimensional holographic vision of a Caduceus appeared within his soul being, or shall I say in more accurate terms, his AOSB. He smiled at me and the vortex spun faster. In front of me was now a younger version of EA, with broader shoulders and smoother skin. He was dressed differently and wore a gold circlet around his forehead. The vortex morphed into a holographic screen. Sigils and symbols in cuneiform flew out of it, then numbers. I had to record the numbers. It was important. They imprinted into my head, my device I suppose, that is how I was able afterwards to remember the numbers exactly. They were dates. Aikia. I saw planet Earth from space, and a huge spherical spacecraft, similar to the one I was on, approaching orbit. Then a breathtaking, holographic, vivid movie unfolded. This last gift was the true history of Earth. Humans of Terra are ready to know the truth, for the end times of servitude has come. Certain groups of people may be shocked, but better a thunderbolt than millennia of rain. The true history of Earth is the Vatican hiding in the vaults of the most forbidden library on the planet, ancient records concealing a truth that would destroy the very foundations of their institution. What is this knowledge able to crush down the dark empires that have been ruling over this planet and enslaved humanity for millennia? What if these forbidden records mention the truth about the God of their holy scriptures? Would it be the reason why the extraterrestrials themselves, from both sides, have kept the true history of Earth hidden from humanity for such a long time? Aowis is not the strongest of the species that survive, nor the most intelligent, but the one most responsive to change. A. Charles Darwin. All the cultures on this planet talk about the return of the gods at the time of the ultimate battle for freedom, Judgment Day, Apocalypse, Armageddon, Ragnarok, the day when angels cast a great evil away from this planet. Well, we have reached these prophesied times, and the so-called Aegods are back in their chariots of fire with their armies of angels. The following timeline of events is the transcription of what EA showed me, to which I added the Sumerian kings list by calculation, some additional data given by Thorhan about extraterrestrial civilizations, and adding at times my own personal commentaries regarding archaeological, astronomical and exopolitical data to help complete the picture. Pangaea, Earth, 200 million years ago, early Jurassic. Naga. 200.000.000 BC. The Naga, a reptiloid species from the Alpha Draconis system, found Earth before everyone else did, when it was still a young world in the process of stabilizing its tectonic plates. Volcanic activity was at its peak. In this hostile environment, many life forms had already developed, most of which are extinct today. The climate was relatively hot and dry, and much of the land was covered with large deserts. There were no polar ice caps. Indigenous reptiles known as dinosaurs had already developed. Reptile skin is less porous than mammal skin, so it loses less water in the heat. The Naga took this world as their own. Even though the climatic conditions were suitable to them, the Naga started a terraforming program to modify the atmosphere in a manner more befitting to them. Many large land animals were wiped out at that time, but the dinosaurs survived, allowing them the opportunity to evolve into a wider variety of forms, and also increase in numbers. In this AOE-enhanced environment, a luxuriant tropical vegetation developed in the temperate zones of the planet, providing plenty of food for plant-eating dinosaurs. The primary Pangaea continent split into several different parts, and the temperatures fell slightly, although it was still warmer than today due to higher amounts of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Rainfall increased as a result of the large seas forming between the land masses. naturally appearing around 230 million years ago, the dinosaurs lived on Earth for 165 million years. They were members of a subclass of reptiles called the archosaurs, Aorulin reptilesa. The reptiloids, from local animals to Naga colonists, lived on this planet longer than any human presence, and this is the very reason why the Naga always claimed this planet as their own, because in all objectivity, they were the first interstellar visitors to colonize it. Part Al. 65.000.000 BC. Intervention of an intergalactic collective of 24 terraforming civilizations. They are a cell of the Intergalactic Confederation, known as the Aocidus or the Aofoundus or the Aopartala. After preserving DNA samples of all of the Earth at TMS flora and fauna, the great reptiles were intentionally removed from the planet by the Cedars so that other life forms could develop. While the giant archosaurs roamed the Earth, no civilization could have developed on this planet. Some of the Naga reptilians somehow survived and sought refuge in underground caverns and remote areas. Still, the planet-wide cataclysmic event made room for the beginnings of a brand new world with unlimited possibilities. Earth was TMT, the first project of this intergalactic collective. They had already seeded the first human genomes from other galaxies into the Aolyra zone. Aolyra was the first nest for humanoid life in Nattru, which then spread throughout the whole galaxy on a large scale of time, moved by cultural expansion and wars. From 65 million BC onward on Earth, the Cedars began modifying original molecules present in the DNA of some indigenous primates, who would otherwise have never reached the level of development to become the human beings of today. They would have remained blocked at the animal consciousness stage. The Partal modified specific links between carbon atoms in the TMS macromolecules of these indigenous Earth primates, boosting their genome by progressively injecting into them a range of different extraterrestrial DNA molecules. 11 genetic input would be progressively added through time, in total though an extended period of time, which is the reason why the Cedars would regularly return to Earth. The etheric sphere of planet was upgraded, allowing future humans to begin their soul journey throughout the natural cycles of incarnations via mineral, vegetal, and animal reigns. Now, the planet had all its layers of densities, from its core to its outer limits. The planetary matrix was ready for the development of human consciousness. 20.000.000 BC. As part of their great experiment, the Partal were back again to check on how the planet and the new life forms were evolving. They enriched the ecosystem with new plant life, creating a satisfactory environment to improve the conditions for primitive humanoid life forms to develop. They also stabilized the Earth at TMS layer lines, anchored more nodes and expanded the geomagnetic field of the planet to a higher magnitude. The experiment was proceeding as planned. 437.000 BC. The Council of the 24 Intergalactic Cedar Races, originally known as the Partal, in their widespread program of creating and developing new human races throughout the universe, returned to planet Earth after millions of years. In the interim, the Planeta TMS environment had blossomed in balance and perfection, allowing human life to develop satisfactorily. In regard to the natural law of evolution, the Cedars watched from a distance the slow evolution of the new multi-hybrid superspecies they had created, monitoring every step in the new species at TM biological, social and conscious development, without intervening openly but making sure that the experiment would continue as long and as safely as possible, throughout the natural cycles of evolution. This is the only possible way to allow the natural development of consciousness throughout the cycles of growth of a planetary matrix. Hence, this work on the enhancement of the human genome was done in several interventions through time, in successive phases, similar for instance to bars on a ladder. As a result, the crossing of different types of genetics was a long and complex process. To reach stabilization, it involved repetitive interventions throughout successive generations of beings, according to the laws of natural evolution, otherwise the genes are rejected? In this great experiment on a long time scale, the rejected genes were tried on other worlds, in different environments. The Partal performed four major global interventions on Earth, injecting new genetic input and performing DNA upgrades. The three other following important dates were 424.000 BC, 398.000 BC, 372.000 BC. By 372.000 BC, the genetic scientists of the Intergalactic Confederation withdrew from Terra. They maintained observation outposts in the Sol system on Jupiter at EMS moon Ganymede, and in secret space on Earth in the Himalayas and under the Atlantic Ocean. As they continued to monitor their genetic experiment, a heavily armed fleet of new visitors arrived. A Nunaki. 372.000 BC. The Anunnaki took territory on the Arabian Peninsula, keeping in mind that the geography was slightly different from now. These beings came to Earth to mine gold, and saw the opportunity for using the indigenous human primates as a workforce. Little did they know that these so-called primates had already received a previous genetic enhancement with extragalactic genomes by the Cedars. Nepueru, Ao, the Masters of the Light Deru in the Orion languages, was the name of their huge spherical mothership. This explains the confusion with the controversial belief in a wandering Ae planeta named Nibiru traveling through space, which in fact refers to a huge spherical ship bearing the same name as to qualify the Anunnaki home world. The Orion Greys helped to foster this misunderstanding. I may remind you that confusion is a national sport with the Orion Greys. They love it and they just don't yet care. Though, we can easily understand that we could name a deep space ship after our home world, like Ao Earth Aya. Remember, the Anunnaki are originally a hybrid race from Orion Greys and Tiashkernia humans of Sirius B. The Orion Zone is commonly known as Ao Orion Na that evolved phonetically into Ao Orion Ao, the light of the cosmos. The Anunnaki have their own personal dialect which is called Ao Anatmka, but it is evolved from the same roots as most Grey dialects in the Orion Zone. So in most of Orion Grey dialects, when Ao Nepueru is translated as Ao the Masters of the Light Deru, it refers to the Orion Nebula TMS double vortex portal that the Anunnaki owned in these ancient times before the legendary Orion Wars blasted. The origins of their culture was a star system they named Imueru, Ao the Great Mother of Lighter. The Anunnaki also occupied, in this pre-Orion Wars time period, several other local star systems, including the triple planetary system Ashkara, Sirius ABC, and Betelgeuse for the most commonly known. For the records, the Nebu refer to the ancient Anunnaki Empire as Ao the Old Imperator. This name is also sometimes given to the Intergalactic Confederation, but we won't attempt to mind a little more of grey muddle at this stage. In addition to the confusion, Ao Nibiru in Syrian language means Ao half of Ta in reference to the hybrid origin of the Anunnaki. It makes sense that Nibiru is a spaceship, and not a wandering planet that would be unable to sustain life in deep space. Life on a planet depends on a balance of diverse fundamental elements dash above all, the correct distance from its star. Slightly farther or slightly closer to its star and life cannot develop. So it cannot be said that Nibiru is a rogue planeta TM in deep space. It is a huge spacecraft. However, saying that the Anunnaki came from Orion is correct, and saying that they are from a different dimension is also correct. It is also correct to say that they come from Sirius B. After several successive hybridization experiments on a group of Earth TMS primary humans using Anunnaki DNA, in that particular area of the planet, a final prototype came to be engineered which caused a great schism among the visitors. EA, the head geneticist of the colonists, immediately saw the tremendous potential of these human creatures who possessed 12 strands of DNA, at the primary stages of their evolution. EA decided to not only hybridize their bodies but enhance the frequencies of their DNA, in order to, as well, allow more advanced consciousnesses to incarnate into the upgraded bodies. I explained this process already throughout the later work of the Council of Five in the genetic upgrade of some Earth human bloodlines, in order to enable the entanglement of extraterrestrial souls from a higher consciousnesses, Aostar Seeds. The organic development of human consciousness is done over a period of time, throughout multiple experiences of incarnations. Despite the fact that it is possible to genetically upgrade or hybridize a biological body, the development of consciousness in a specific planetary matrix cannot be expedited with technology. So if we engineer an upgraded biological body, unless a soul from another planetary matrix is directly brought in, it will be naturally inhabited by a soul of the Earth planetary matrix, in accordance to the level of development of the collective consciousness of that planet. The product from the engineering of the first race of Earth Anunnaki hybrids was a high-tech biological vessel with a very primitive consciousness. This suited perfectly the agenda of the group of Anunnaki in charge of the slave workforce, the Operation Command lead by Enlil. But their head geneticist, EA, was compelled to take the extra step in the experiment by changing the vibrational etheric frequency of these creatures' DNA, in order to allow a higher consciousness to incarnate more quickly and more easily. 360.000 BC. EA, who we know better as Enki, perfected his creation with the love of a father, putting his own DNA into the engineering of the new human body. Ea his blood offered to the multitude Ea. The reason why Ea put his own personal DNA into the project, was to maintain control over his creation, via frequency resonance. A healthy, upgraded male hybrid was born, fulfilling all expectations of his celestial father. The first individual of the upgraded human being was named Adam. He was the very first incarnation of an evolved extraterrestrial soul into a biologically raw Terran genetic material. In other words, Adam was the first starseed. He was coupled with the first female of his kind, but she did not EMT live up to ERTMS expectations, her etheric envelope did not EMT harmonize with the frequency of her body and she died prematurely. So EA decided that a new female would be directly hybridized from the Mali TMS genetics. It was a match made in Edina, as this is the name of the ET Biosphere Laboratory where the genetic modifications took place. Both male and female carried the same DNA frequency. When the right moment came, they were simply activated and awakened to the understanding of their true nature. This is when the discord occurred between the scientists and the military factions. Unfortunately, the scientists did not EMT have the power of decision nor access to the weaponry technology. Infuriated by ERTMS DNA tampering, the military ruler of the colony, who we know as Enlil, together with his own team of geneticists, tried to block the human evolution on Earth in a peculiar manner, the original primate, as a product of the seeding of several different intergalactic genomes into a primitive creature, had 12 strands carrying an astounding potential promising a great development. So Enlil TMS technicians deactivated most of these strands, to keep these human primates in a state of docile ignorant animals. Enlil also attempted to wipe out entire groups of DNA-enhanced humans by unleashing a natural disaster TM on Earth. But he failed to eradicate all of the humans with this activated DNA. However, there is a way to reactivate these strands, by using sound frequencies. Because DNA is also made of frequencies. This is the reason why, through to this day, there are very specific bloodlines that have carried these DNA strands, whose individuals are abducted throughout generations, by benevolent organizations such as the Council of Five in order to reactivate their dormant DNA genes to produce body vessels that are able to match and receive the intense frequency of highly advanced extraterrestrial souls. DNA emits a clear, sharp frequency and it needs to be the right frequency match for welcoming safely an extraterrestrial soul. For instance, if an A soul, or as B, wants to incarnate into a human body on Earth, They need to find a human body who carried a certain percentage of ale DNA. It is always about the frequency match. Consequently, there are two different Anunnaki royal lineages on this planet. He children of Enlil and the children of Enki. The Enlil lineage interbred also with the royal line of Chakotay reptilian invaders later in history. They are now the Dark 13 powerful bloodlines, some of them are royals in power. Opposite, the Enki lineage are the descendants of the Adamu, the patriarchs, Yeshuil and his bloodline. For instance, there is a particular French royal bloodline who carries Enki TMS genetics and who is allotted with great psychic powers. 300.000 BC. A non-intervention treaty was officially established around this time, at a galactic level, after great wars decimated entire star systems. Earth, now populated with hybrid humanoids of 13 different species, one local plus 11 intergalactic plus one Anunnaki, came under this new treaty a TMS directive. The Anunnaki owned Earth as a colony, so no one else was allowed to interfere on their territory, and certainly not for genetic experimentation. Many civilizations succeeded and overlapped one another, at about a rate of 10.000 to 15.000 year CTM cycles of rise and decline. 286.030 BC. At the founding of the first Anunnaki city settlement in the Tigris and Euphrates Valley, which lands were at the time more extended southward, due to lower sea levels. They name it Eridu, which will be destroyed and rebuilt on a later date after the Great Flood of 9.600 BC. A first Anunnaki monarch, Alulim, ruled there for 28,800 years. 250.830 BC. Territorial wars rage on Terra for the ownership of the planet. Eridu falls. The Anunnaki colony loses the global custody of Terra and their kingship moves to Bad Tibera, where new king Enmenluana rules the colony there for 43,200 years. 222.030 BC. Anunnaki king Alalja rules 36.000 years. 142.830 BC. I successor Anunnaki king Enmengalana rules over the Anunnaki territory for 28,800 years. 114.030 BC. I successor Anunnaki king Dumuzid is the ruler of the Anunnaki outpost centered in Bad Tibera, for 36,000 years. The Great Wars and the Chukar Empire. 100.000 BC. Chaotic events took place around 100.000 BC, ignited by the intrusion of an offshoot from the Chukar Reptilian Empire. Following horrendous territorial conflicts between different extraterrestrial factions, we see the first inner Earth migration of some groups of populations to subterranean territories. They will develop later into subsurface civilizations generally known as Agartha, located under Europe and the Americas, Shambhala, under Asia, and other places. Using very advanced technology, the violence of these wars wiped out life from many places on the planet. Earth was not the only planet affected by these conflicts, but was just one of many worlds in this galactic quadrant that suffered with a similar problem. The assimilation agenda of the Nepu Greys competing with the Chukar reptilians for territorial rights. Although different on many levels, the Chukar CTM methods for conquering worlds are similar to the Nebu TMS but more destructive. Nepu Greys are hard workers who are inclined to conduct fastidious hybridization programs to transform primitive populations into their notion of a perfectioner. On the other hand, the Chukar do not have this eagerness for effort, and not even this type of technology anyway, but they possess one great quality, patience. They will not select primitive cultures with a low level of technological development but plunder civilizations already well developed. Hence, they just have to harvest them. The way they achieve this type of agenda is by infiltration and manipulation. Chukar will hybridize themselves into the top elite classes of the unfortunate civilization, and groom the leaders to comply to their will and agendas, to the point of even putting these corrupted elites in charge of their own enslaved people, for the benefit of the Chukot. The Chukot are TM coercion of the Nazis in we I in the dark Masonic global organization we call the Ekabala TM that formed in earnest after we I are two good examples of the Chaka hybridization and control agenda. They became a venom spreading through the veins of societies on Earth, infiltrating and assimilating by mind control, and cancelling free will. The Chukot work in association with other aggressive reptilian races such as the Sigma Draconis Giants are, involved in dark magic and the most horrid, unfathomably evil practices to bind human souls down into the lowest grades of consciousness. Chukot infiltration can corrupt even highly evolved civilizations. These are their most prized targets. They do it for the easy harvest because reptilians are not keen on efforts. Sometimes they will do it for the excitement of infiltrating civilizations that are part of particular galactic alliances, federations and corporations, and then place their hybrids in positions of authority to corrupt these structures and destroy them from within. A good example of this is the Ashtar Alliance, which was originally created for the purpose of bringing protection to the civilizations of the Sirius A, B and C star systems against the Nepu and Chukot. Once the Ashtar Alliance was infiltrated by the Chukot, they invited other aggressive species to join and corrupted the organization. A positive breakaway group left this compromise group to become the Ashtar Galactic Command to pursue their original positive agenda. The same thing happened with the Alcyone Tal Shiar and others. 100.000 years ago, when these devastating conflicts occurred on Earth and in this sector of the galaxy, the Young Galactic Federation of Worlds got involved. Led at the time by the Pleiadians, it gathered diverse galactic organizations, alliances and minor confederations into a larger and unified structure. The rage of battle to keep territories out of the hands of the Chukot caused tremendous casualties, and it was a very painful lesson for this young Pleiadian Galactic Federation. They decided to redirect the goals of the Federation towards different ways of defending justice in the galaxy, relegating war as the last option. The universal cosmic law of evolution became the cornerstone principle of the Galactic Federation of Worlds, avoiding tragedies and preserving life and free will as much as possible. Of course, in certain situations, the Galactic Federation of Worlds would employ a quick and decisive military intervention to liberate enslaved civilizations, with highly advanced warfare technologies. They realized that responding with violence is not TMT the wisest solution when things can be done with less casualties. They understood that the alternative of peacemaking in the respect of natural evolution, by offering assistance while honoring free will, could lead to better and more durable results, in accordance with universal cosmic laws. The motto of the Galactic Federation of Worlds became Ao Justice and Balance, transforming pain into peacea. Only when a civilization is attacked by belligerent off-worlders and when help is officially requested, does the Galactic Federation of Worlds deploy the arsenal of their advanced combat capabilities. And even then, they would prefer to empower and train the oppressed culture through technology exchanges, such as secret cooperation programs, so that indigenous people can defend themselves. The rest of the time, the Galactic Federation of Worlds works as mediators, using diplomacy and influence. Man. The Liren refugees. 88.000 BC. The Chukot Empire ransacked the Man system in the Lyra Zone. The survivors, on board arcs carrying the archives and DNA bank of their worlds, fled in a widespread galactic diaspora, in search for new worlds to establish colonies. 81.400 BC, some of these arcs arrived in the Sol system and the colonists decided to settle on Maldk. Name in Anatmkh, the fifth planet between Mars and Jupiter, which offered the best and safest environmental conditions at the time. They found on Maldk a primitive culture related to the species we call Yeti on Earth. The Man colonies spread out progressively to other planets in our solar system, such as Earth, Mars and Venus. On Earth, Man colonists settled around actual India and the Gobi Desert, which at the time had a tropical climate. Challenged and threatened by a group of Nagai based in Antarctica, which also had a warmer climate, a war ignited between the two factions.